Heavenly Father, we thank you for gathering us here this morning. And Lord, as we come, we ask that you would be here with us, that you would speak to our hearts and minds. We pray that your presence would be evident and that we would hear your voice. Be with us today, Father, in Jesus' name, amen. Well, this will be my last sermon here. And as I was deciding what to speak this morning, honestly, what came to mind is probably more for me than it is for anyone else. But I do think it's something that we can all relate to. And that is, how do we walk into an uncertain future? Because I do believe that uncertainty is something that we know a lot of in today's world. We live in very uncertain times. There's uncertainty about the future of our nation. I don't know about you, but I can't hardly watch the news without either getting angry or scared. One of the two. There's uncertainty about finances for many people. There's uncertainty about relationships for a lot of people. And as I prepare to transition to a new church, there is certainly a lot of uncertainty ahead of me. But we all deal with uncertainty in our lives, and the question is, as followers of Christ, how should we approach that? Well, if there is ever a man who I think faced uncertainty in his future, it's Joshua. So this morning we're going to be in Joshua chapter 1. So if you have your Bibles, turn to Joshua chapter 1. And I will be reading verses 1 through 9. Joshua 1, 1 through 9. Says this, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' aide, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all these people get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I am about to give them to the Israelites. I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses. Your territory will extend from the desert to Lebanon and from the great river to Euphrates, all the Hittite country to the Mediterranean Sea in the west. No one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and courageous because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their ancestors to give them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. Now, Joshua had a very difficult task ahead of him, and I want to give this a little perspective. He was Moses' right hand for years, and as far as Moses goes, for leaders of the day, he was second to none. He took the people out of Egypt, demonstrated miraculous signs, performed miracles, and it was just very clear that God was with him in a very powerful way. It says he was a friend of God, and God showed the people time and time again that Moses was his chosen leader. Even when the people wanted to rebel, most Jewish communities recognized Moses as the greatest man who ever lived. And even in Christian circles, he's seen as the greatest man aside from Jesus to ever live. But now Moses is dead, and here's poor Joshua who's taking over the leadership of Israel. And I mean, you want to talk about big shoes to fill. Not only was Joshua supposed to be their leader, but he was taking over right when Israel was supposed to begin their military conquest of the Promised Land. And on top of all of that, Israel had a history of rebelling against Moses while they were in the wilderness. I mean, if you put yourself in Joshua's shoes, you got to be thinking, man, what in the world am I getting myself into? If they rebelled against Moses in the wilderness while we had food from heaven to eat, what in the world are they going to do to me when I lead him into battle? It was an uncertain future, and it had to be weighing on Joshua's mind that he undoubtedly felt some uncertainty about what was going to happen. But God comes to Joshua, and in this passage, he gives him instructions about how to approach his future. And so this morning, I want to pull out five things that God gave to Joshua to help him as he faced an uncertain future. And the first one is this: God gave him a task. God gave him a task. In verse 1, it says, "Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all the people get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I'm about to give them." While Joshua's future and the future of Israel was uncertain, God gave Joshua a very simple, easy task to accomplish to get the ball rolling. There's little doubt in my mind that after Moses died, Joshua is wondering, what am I supposed to do now? I think every leader has that moment when they take a new position where they say, I'm here, now what? His mentor of 40 years was gone, and he was left to lead a nation of 3 million people. But God didn't leave Joshua hanging, wondering what to do next. He said, get ready to cross the river. He commissioned him for a very simple but meaningful task. And no matter how uncertain our future may be, I think God does the same thing to us a lot of times. Just as Joshua is given a task, I think as believers we have tasks and commands that we should be following no matter what's going on around us. Maybe it's the simple things like spending time in the Word and prayer. We're given commands about how to operate day to day. Husbands, love your wives. Wives, respect your husbands. We should be serving in the church, and those are things that we should be doing that are not dependent upon the circumstances around us. Matthew 28 gave us our ultimate marching orders as a church. Go make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. That's our task as a church. And there are times we get distracted from that and not sure what to do, but I think we go back to that passage and think that's what we need to do. Go make disciples. And I've heard a lot of people say things that they don't know what they should be doing for God. God hasn't given them something specific, and they use that as an excuse to do nothing in the meantime. They're just waiting for God to give them this grand vision of what their future should look like, and while they're waiting, they're sitting ducks. You may have uncertainty about what God has in store for you, but there's always something we can be doing to build the kingdom. In fact, sometimes I think it is the simplest, smallest tasks that sometimes mean the most. I got started in a church with chair stacking. Very simple thing, but it led to a progression to what I do now. And as believers, there is always something that can be done for the kingdom that are not conditioned upon circumstances or some grand vision. God has a purpose for everything he does. There is no meaningless chores in the kingdom of God, but everything we do for his kingdom has eternal significance. Whether your contributions are small or large, it doesn't matter. And we may not see the result of what God is doing with that, but we can rest assured that he will use it for his glory and honor. And I think the problem is so many times we are concerned about what God is going to have us doing 5 or 10 years from now, when maybe we should be more concerned with what he has for us today in this moment. If God has shown you his long-term plan for your life, great. But if he hasn't, then maybe you should just ask, what do you want me to do today? Because what I really believe is that when we walk faithfully in the little things day to day, he will lead us to his future that he has planned for us. The future for 10 years from now begins with being faithful in the little things today. I heard someone say once that the greatest mistake was made by the man who did nothing because he could only do a little. Inactivity is not part of God's plan for his children. We're supposed to be active in ministry, even if we don't know where it's leading. And like Joshua, we shouldn't just sit around and wonder what's going to happen and stress about the future, but we should work with what we can now. The easiest way to find God's ultimate will for your life is to do what he calls you to do today. And he'll show you what he wants you to do in the long term. God came to Joshua and said, listen, Joshua, Moses is dead, but I'm not. I have a plan for your life. I have a plan for your people. So let's get on with it. Get ready to cross the river. He gave him a simple task that helped get the whole ball rolling for taking a promised land. Don't be an inactive Christian, but carry out the tasks that he gives you day to day, even if they're small. Because often it's that first step, that first task, that first moment that gets everything moving for God's plan. Secondly, God made him a promise. In verse 5 it says, "No one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you." God gave Joshua a task and then he made him a promise. He said, "As I was with Moses, so I will be with you." And what a powerful promise that was, especially if you consider how God was with Moses. I mean, let's think about this. God called Moses out of a burning bush, entrusted him with leading the people out of Egypt. He entrusted Moses with the law. In Exodus 32, God listened to Moses after the people rebelled when God wanted to destroy them. In Exodus 33:11, it says that the Lord would speak to Moses face to face as a man speaks with his friend. Joshua had watched for 40 years as God had worked miracles through Moses. He had seen the signs and wonders with his own eyes. And now God said, "As I was with Moses, so I'm going to be with you." Now, I don't know about you, but that would sure give me some encouragement right there. Because just as Joshua received a promise from God, we have all received promises from God. The Bible is full of promises for God's people that should encourage us in both our good times and our dark times. And here's just a few. We have the promise of provision. Philippians 4:19 says, "My God will meet all your needs according to the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus." We have the promise of guidance. Psalms 32:8 says, "I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you with my loving eye on you." We have the promise for help in times of trouble. Psalms 46, "God is our refuge and our strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the middle of the sea." And most importantly, we have the promise of salvation. Romans 10:9, "That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, and shall believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved." When times are tough and the future seems uncertain, we can hold on to the promises of God. The bottom line is there is no situation that God is too small for. When we follow God, he has promised to see us through. No matter what the situation is, he will see us through. And not only that, but he'll use those situations to get us closer to him. Romans 8:28, "All things work together for the good of those who love God and have been called according to his purposes." In whatever we face, God can use it for his glory. God promised Joshua that he would be with him in a powerful way, that he would not leave his side in whatever he faced. And that is what God is saying to each of us. "I will be with you. I won't leave you. Hang on to the promises that you've been given." And I think it's a good practice sometimes to just write down the promises of God. Especially when you're facing difficult times, write down those promises, study his promises, and hold on to those promises. Because when God makes a promise, we can take it to the bank. He gave Joshua a promise. Thirdly, he gave him encouragement. Three times in this passage, God tells Joshua, "Be strong and courageous." He says it in verse 6, 7, and 9. "Be strong and courageous." God has given Joshua the assurance that he will be with him. Now he's encouraging the new leader, telling him, "Be strong and courageous." You know, it's easy to say, "I trust God." It's a lot harder to actually step out in trust. Whether it's fear or pride holding us back, it can be very difficult to take that step that puts our faith into action. God said to Joshua, "Be strong and courageous." I have a tin that has been in my office. It's a picture of John Wayne, and it says, "Courage is being scared to death, but saddling up anyway." And I think there's a lot of truth to that. Having fear and anxiety about the future is normal, but God is asking us to step out in faith, to be strong and courageous, and obey what he calls us to do. Now, what I want to say about this is that when God calls us to be strong and courageous, he is not talking about us relying on ourselves. We live in a society that tells us that we need to find a strength within ourselves to do things. You know what I'm talking about? We always hear things like, find it within yourself. You possess something within you. But the bottom line is, it's really not about what we have within us, it's about who we have within us. They tell us that we can be self-sufficient, that we don't need anyone else, that we can pull ourselves up by the bootstraps, that we all have this inner strength within us that we can tap into. And as a Christian, I have to meet that thought with a no. That's not how it is. It's not by our strength. It's not by our power. It's not about what we have inside of us. We are not meant to be self-sufficient beings. We are meant to rely on God. So when God tells Joshua, be strong and courageous, yes, he's asking Joshua to take a step of faith, but he's also saying, be strong and courageous in me. He's not telling Joshua, you have to be strong and courageous because once you enter the promised land, you're on your own. He's saying, obey what I tell you to do, and I will do the rest. Notice in verse 2 it says, get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I am about to give you. And in verse 3 it says, I will give you every place where you set your foot. It's not about our strength or our power. It's about allowing God to empower us to accomplish his will. Philippians 4:19, I can do all things through him who gives me strength. Paul is saying in that passage, I can master every circumstance that comes my way if I allow Christ to empower me. While the world wants to say, find the strength within yourself, Christ says, come to me. Isaiah 40:29-31 says, he gives strength to the weary. He increases power to the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. Job 12:13, with him is wisdom and strength. He will counsel and understanding. Psalms 28:7, the Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusts in him and I am helped. My heart leaps for joy and I will give thanks to him in song. Courage is fear that has said its prayers. Courage is fear that has said its prayers. The truth is, when we rely on our own power and our own strength, we will fall short every single time. We were made to walk hand in hand with God and to rely on him. And when we truly come to the realization that we don't have to rely on our own strength, that we can tap into God's strength and power and gain the courage we need to step out in faith and do what he calls you to do, that is a freeing thing. And that is an encouraging thing. God told Joshua, be strong and courageous. And I love the response in verse 10 of the chapter. It says, and Joshua told everyone, get ready. He didn't waste time. He said, all right, let's go. And God gave Joshua victory after victory. And it wasn't about Joshua's military tactics. I mean, let's think about Jericho for a second. You come to this big city with a wall, and you got to be thinking, okay, are we going to go under the wall, through the wall, over the wall? And God comes to Joshua and says, no, you're going to march around the wall. Can you imagine being Joshua having to go back to your military commanders and give them that game plan? I mean, you walk into the meeting, they're like, okay, Joshua, what's the plan? Are we going through it, over it, under it? Yeah, we're going to march around it for 7 days. You think there was a few questions of him at that point? Like, what in the world is this guy up to? I mean, we may need to have a backup plan. But it wasn't about Joshua's military tactics, because as far as military tactics go, that's ridiculous, right? But he obeyed, and God gave them a miraculous victory at Jericho. Just as God encouraged Joshua, he is encouraging us this morning. He's saying, be strong and courageous, because whatever uncertainty you're facing, my strength will get you through. Fourthly, God gave him a guide. It says, be careful to obey all the law that my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. God said, I give you the promise that I'm going to be with you. I will empower you. And now I'm giving you an instruction manual to guide your steps. And if you follow this, you will be successful wherever you go. And the bottom line is, we have that same guide. The book, the Bible, contains the answers we need to get through this life. It should be the first place we look for answers. Because in it, God has given us the instructions about how to approach life. It may not always give us an exact answer. It may not always give us the answer we want to hear. But in it, we learn how to have a relationship with God. And when we have that, we can get through any of life's circumstances. And I think one of the biggest things we need to realize in this day and age is that the Word should be our daily bread. It is something that we need on a daily basis. When we really grasp this idea that it is our spiritual food, it will revolutionize how we approach this book and how we live our lives. And I know when I committed to reading the Bible daily, my life changed drastically in a very short amount of time. Because there is power in the Word of God, and when you are constantly intaking it into your life, it will change you. I met one older lady who had a policy. It was no Bible, no breakfast. I think that's a pretty good policy. I don't know if I quite had that discipline, but it's a good policy. It's said that when the famous missionary David Livingstone started his trek across Africa, he had 73 books and 3 packs weighing 180 pounds. After the party had gone 300 miles, he threw a number of them away. And as he continued his journey, his library grew less and less until he had one book left, the Bible, because he found that that's really all he needed. It is our guide. It gives us the guidance we need. Now when God instructed Joshua about the Word, he told Joshua to do 3 things with it. First, he told Joshua to talk about the Word. In verse 8, it says, keep this book of the law always on your lips. We are not supposed to keep silent about God's Word. We're supposed to share it. We're supposed to talk about it. We're supposed to encourage others with what we find in it. I think too oftentimes, as Christians, we will talk about almost anything else except the Word. I mean, I'm guilty of that. I love to talk about football. You start a conversation about football, I'll talk your ear off. But sometimes I think we really need to talk less about these trivial things and encourage one another more with what God is actually doing in our life and what he's revealing to us in his Word. And this is a concept that Joshua held on to throughout his life. And we see at the very end, the last chapter of Joshua, his last address to the Israelites, his message was, choose this day whom you will serve, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Undoubtedly, it was something that revolutionized his life and revolutionized the country. Talk about the Word. Secondly, he told Joshua to think about the Word. In verse 8, it says, meditate on it day and night. I think too many people approach the Bible with kind of a checklist mentality. We read it, we check our box for the day, said, well, I did that because that's what good Christians do, and we move on about our day. But Bible reading shouldn't be just something that happens at one point during the day. It should be something that affects our thoughts the entire day. Let the words sink in. Approach it with the thought that God is going to speak to me through this today. Open it up expecting to hear from God. Then read it carefully, and after you read it, ask yourself, what did I hear? Not what did I just read, but what did I hear from the Lord? When we do that and we let the words go beyond the page and let it enter our minds and our hearts, that's when true change starts happening. Because God can and will speak to us through the Word. It can become alive. Don't just read the Word, meditate on it, think about it, let it sink in. And thirdly, he told Joshua to obey the Word. Verse 8, keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything that's written in it. God doesn't just want us to talk about the word and think about the word. He wants us to actually do what it says. Obedience is where we put our faith into action. It doesn't make sense for God to give us a guide and then not do what it says. Now, men, I know we struggle with this with instruction manuals, right? I got this. I don't need this. And that's usually when I put the wrong bolt somewhere and I'm wound up with a screw that's too short to finish it off and I have to go back and redo the whole thing. But we need to be obedient to the word of God. James 1:22, do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves, do what it says. Luke 11:28, blessed rather are those who hear the word of God and obey it. God told Joshua, if you do this, if you obey what's written in the word, then you'll be prosperous and successful. Obedience is the key to spiritual victory. And it's the key for Joshua. And we see the rest of his life that as long as he and Israel were obedient to the word of God, he gave them victory after victory after victory. And any time that they did not listen to the word or consult the Lord, they were met with decisive defeat. If you read just a few chapters after Jericho, the first battle after Jericho, they didn't ask God what they'd do. They got arrogant and thought, we'll send 300 men to take this city, and they were slaughtered. Because they didn't obey the word of God. When fear and uncertainty are affecting us, we need to look to the guide that God has given us. We need to speak about it. We need to meditate on it. And we need to actually do what it says. And that will bring change in a big way. We have a guide to get through life. We should use it. And lastly, God gave him assurance of the outcome. God gave him assurance of the outcome. In verse 8, then you will be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. The bottom line is, as long as Joshua did what God instructed him to do, he did not have to worry about the outcome. Because God would ensure victory. Starting with Jericho and through the rest of the book, he was victorious because God said he would be. No matter how discouraging the future looks, how uncertain it looks, we can rest assured that God is in control, and as long as we are in him, we do not have to worry about the outcome of life. The biggest battles have already been won. When Christ died on the cross, he broke the power of sin. And so through him, we have victory. The battle is already over. We have assurance of the outcome. 1 Corinthians 15:57 says, but thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. It's easy to get discouraged, especially when we look at the situation our world is in. But the bottom line is, I have read the back of the book. And at the end of the day, Christ wins and we win with him. And as his children, we get to experience and be part of his victory. No matter what we're facing, remember that Christ has assured us of the outcome, just as he did through Joshua. So the question is, do we trust him enough to allow him to lead us, even into an uncertain future? That can be a difficult thing to do, but trust placed in Jesus will never come back empty-handed. It will never come back empty-handed. So I don't know what uncertainties are difficult you might be facing today. I know I'm certainly facing some uncertainties as we get ready to transition. And the truth is, I am excited but halfway scared to death at the same time. But this passage has been especially encouraging to me as I've studied the past couple weeks because it shows that God cares for his children. And no matter how difficult things look, how uncertain things look, he is in control, and he's already said that if you follow me, I will give you victory. I will give you every place that you set your foot. Joshua had an enormously difficult task ahead of him, and he was undoubtedly anxious about what he faced. But God took him by the hand and said, I am with you. Follow me, and everything will be fine. And that's what he's saying to you and me this morning. that we have access to his strength and his grace in whatever he calls us to do. Life is filled with what ifs, but you can face the future with simple trust in Jesus. And if you seek his plan for your life, and you stay in the word, and you're willing to step out in faith and obey him, he will lead you through both good times and difficult times, and lead you to a prosperous future. We should never be afraid to trust an unknown future to an all-knowing God. We should never be afraid to trust an unknown future to an unknowing, all-knowing God, because he sees the big picture. He knows what's going to come. He knows the problems we're going to face before they even pop up. And so I want to give you encouragement this morning. Whatever you're facing, remember the encouragement that God gave to Joshua. And don't be afraid to walk forward. This has been a different sermon for me, because I think, like I said, I think it applies to me more than probably anyone else right now. I don't know, maybe it applies to you more. But it's been an encouragement. And as I end this morning, I just want to say thank you to this church and this congregation. The past 4.5 years have been amazing. I could not have landed with a better group of people and a better lead pastor to guide me through these first few years of ministry. And as I leave, please keep praying for us, because we don't know what the future holds, but we're excited and nervous to face it. So keep praying, and we have certainly been praying for you and youth ministry as it transitions. So once again, thank you from the bottom of my heart for the past 4.5 years. Let's pray. God, thank you for your word. Thank you for your encouragement. And God, I thank you for this group of people and the encouragement they've been to me and how they've helped me to grow. And Father, I pray just your blessings on this church, that you would keep it growing, that you'd keep it within your will, and that you would do amazing things in this community through this body. God, go with us the rest of this day. I pray that as we transition into a time of fellowship and music, that your presence would be with us and that you would continue to work on our hearts and minds. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.